Are you actually saying these words?
If you dare hit that pause button, you will not be blessed. You will not be blessed. Your duty is to listen to this show in its entirety from beginning.
Or if you hit that skip forward 15 seconds to miss this chastisement, you will also not be blessed.
You know what? I'm actually going to look at the clock right now, and 15 seconds from now, I'm still going to chastise people. But welcome to This Week in Mormons, everybody.
You cannot escape the chastisement.
It is delightful to have you here. Thank you for spending some time with us. We feel abundantly blessed for having you with us. It's a joy to be here. Now,
don't
likewise,
touch that pause
if you
button.
Leave right now, you will not be blessed, as I wanted to remind you. You will suffer. Anyway, how's things going over there, Al? What's new, buddy? How's life?
Oh, my gosh. They're just tremendous. This next week, I leave on my my week-long train adventure across America.
Why have I never even heard about this?
Well, I feel like this would be right up your alley. I didn't want to make you jealous.
You can make me jealous. It's still fun to know about what's going on with you.
So me and a buddy are we bought train tickets to go from Kansas City to Milwaukee to Chicago to Cleveland to Sandusky to revisit the park there.
You're going to Cedar Point without me?
And then all the way out to Boston. We're doing baseball stadium tours.
This is like a trip you and I are supposed to go on.
I know.
You know what? You're right. You should not have told me about this because
you have a new baby, and I couldn't say anything.
I feel like I'm being replaced. Who is this fiend who is going with you?
So I'm at a Brewers game, a Cubs, a White Sox, an Indians, and then a Bo Sox game.
I haven't been to any of those stadiums.
It's going to be tremendous. And the pictures, Jeff. The pictures. No, so this is my buddy John. He's heading back to Boston for school. And he does something very nice for me every birthday. He's quite a thoughtful man. We've gone on the luge out at Utah Olympic Park one time, where those G-forces were surprisingly effective on the extremities of your body. And then we've done, I don't know, we always just end up someplace funny. So this year we decided on a train trip from Kansas City out to Boston, which will be about 45 hours of training.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jeff, we'll go when you are removed from fatherly duties.
I feel like my place atop the hill is threatened. This John, as you call him, John, is it?
John, he's a great guy.
This John, who is doing things I would like to do, not only that, he's clearly winning on your birthday, and I cannot beat that. I have no ability to beat that gift for a birthday gift.
No, you don't. No, it's not a competition, Jeff. I'm sure whatever you got me is going to be great.
Well, sure, but it's not even August yet. I'm still a week away. Yeah, don't worry. I'm thinking of the great gift. I let you see my son today.
It's going to be amazing. It's going to be really good. So that's pretty fun. But
well, fine. That sounds delightful. I'm glad for you and John.
I'm an uncle.
I hope you and John have a wonderful time. Maybe John have a wonderful life together.
Because that's the last time you'll ever get a look at that baby.
I'm done. I'm so angry right now.
I knew I shouldn't have told you. I knew you couldn't handle it right now.
My goodness. Okay, I love my son. I would love to go to Cedar Point. But you're taking the train to Cleveland and have to drive all the way back over, huh? That's a bummer.
No, so the train stops in Cedar.
Oh, my goodness.
Thankfully.
Well, they haven't changed much since we went there. They've only done a few minor tweaks, but it'll still be a lot of fun.
But it's funny because, like, we're doing this whole thing on just trains and Ubers, and I'm pretty certain that those train stations are rarely in like reputable parts of town. So I'm excited. I'm excited to battle our way out from the gangs of Cleveland,
Ohio.
Well,
it depends on where. I mean, you got to remember Chicago is the rail hub of America. So you have a lot of good access there. Chicago's train station's right in downtown. I've been to Milwaukee's train station. We took that last year. Not that exciting.
It's not a competition, Jeff. We can all go to train stations.
But it's
okay?
I'm just letting you know, if you need any tips on Milwaukee, I learned a lot.
I actually would love some tips on Milwaukee because I'm not optimistic about anything there.
Well, the stadium's a little ways out. It's not in downtown. I don't know. There's some okay stuff there. It's a cute. It's a smaller city as far as regional hubs go, but it's a cool town.
Oh, good.
I found things there.
No, it's going to be nice. I'm really excited. So that'll be interesting. And then you and I got to figure out how to record the show from a fancy hotel somewhere in the Plains States. So should be fun.
That sounds really hard for you. I'm sorry for your suffering. That's great. It's great news.
You're welcome. Also, this last week we had our big company retreat, which is why I'm late to this. So we had all of our company flew out and enjoyed our stay. It was really fun though. We actually had a lot of fun. It was cool to get everybody in one room and collaborate and stuff.
So the retreat to move forward.
Yes. Oh yeah. I should have been an episode of The Office. What about you, man? What's your week been?
Well, what happens is I work and there's a child, and that basically consumes my life at this point. But it has been fun. When we last, my in-laws were in town. My mother-in-law helped us out a lot. She finally took off on Saturday over the weekend.
May she rest in peace.
And my mom and my sister and my cousin decided to double up. They took a trip up to Maine, went up to Acadia, lovely place, and went to Boston. And then they drove down here, and they've been with us during the week. They'll be leaving this weekend as well. So they've been here.
Now, if you were to compare level of interest between your parents and her parents, who loves the boy more? You've seen them both in this natural habitat. The longing look in their eyes. Which one has more love for your child?
This is difficult to say. There's different ways of expressing love, Al. There are languages, if you will.
Yeah.
Some might say five of them.
Time.
Yep.
Touch. Eye glow.
Yeah.
I believe is one.
Eye glow is a big one. The glowing eyes. This is difficult to say. My in-laws love him immensely, and it's adorable to watch them with him. My mom, it's her first grandchild. She also loves him immensely. It's deeply. So I'm going to play the political card here and just say it's a dead heat.
I feel like your mom, if she really loved him, would not have gone to Maine and Arcadia when she had the chance to be with him more.
It's Acadia, and that might be a fair point. Maybe she could have been here the whole time. But my mom doesn't like to impose and wouldn't want to necessarily have overlap and have it overwhelm us with just parents everywhere and, you know.
Overwhelm you?
Yeah. I'm trying to pronounce my WHs. Better diction, Al. Diction.
Boo, Jeff. Boo.
It's very bougie of me, but I can't help it. That's just who I am. So that's basically been what's going on. You know, pretty run of the mill, as any of you have had children know. It's just a lot of downtime hanging out with the new one and taking care of him.
Your life is effectively over. Should I just expect this to be the status quo?
Not in the least. No, Al. Things are going to be different now. Like they say at the end of Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, the movie, things are going to be different now, aren't they?
I think I'm gonna like it.
Hermione says that to Harry, and Harry just says, yep. Now, this is in response to Cedric Diggory dying. Thankfully, we're not in such a drastic situation. So thankfully. So I think things are still gonna be okay.
Cedric, that was so sad. That was so sad.
Well, you'll have to come out here, though, and see.
I'll watch Harry Potter with you out there.
Watch all. I made Danielle watch all of them when we barely got married. I think that was my only shot at.
Yeah, she was. Everything was still too new. She was afraid to hurt your feelings.
Well, okay, here's a funny thing though. She's never seen the Star Wars movies, so we've been very slowly making our way through those when we've had a moment here and there. So we actually watched episode one finally. We're watching them in order of release, not chronological order as far as story goes. So we made it through the original trilogy, which was funny because she's never seen it. She didn't know what Ewoks were or anything. And now we watched episode one, which was just awful. So many questions. So many questions about that film. My goodness.
I feel like episode one is due for a revisiting. That's fair.
It was. I had not watched it for a very long time, and it does not hold up. It's terrible. I want to watch this thing I've heard about called the Phantom Edit, where a professional editor took the movie and cut out most of the Jar Jar Binks stuff to try to make it a tighter film, and I've heard it's very good. So I'd be interested in revisiting that. So that's this is my life now, Al. I accept.
All right. Yeah. No, that's good. That's good. I can't wait. It's going to be fun as we watch you evolve into riding bicycles with your boy, taking him fishing for the first time.
These sound like
watching him be kidnapped and then committing your life to getting his return.
I do possess a certain set of skills, which I will be excited to exploit at a given point.
Exploit your skills.
Which, by the way, in watching Liam Neeson in episode one, how badly I wanted him to just to quote lines from Taken as a Jedi Knight.
Oh, that would have been amazing. Walk up to
him and be like, I have a certain set of skills. Wherever you are, Darth Maul, I will find you. I will kill you.
That would have been great. I forgot that he was the dude in that.
Qui-Gon, anyway, yeah.
Well, yeah. This is nice. This
now,
is
Al,
nice.
I've also had... go ahead, my friend.
Oh, good. No, I was just gonna move on.
Well, before we get to the news, I had an idea, and I'm springing this on you on the air instead. I believe we should create a whole dating show centered around you, sponsored by Twim. I believe what we should do is have prospective ladies on as guests here on the show, and we vet them as part of our comedy, and then you can narrow the field from there, and we will sort it out. I think
would it be like Love Connection? Would there be three of them, and I have to choose which
that
one?
That could. I hadn't even thought about that angle. That could be even better. Chuck Woolery is basically retired. I could maybe get him to help out with this. I think this is ripe for.
Here's
comedy.
My thing, Jeff. I don't think that a woman that would hold her own well on a radio show would necessarily be the right woman for me.
Really? Because if she can handle you and your banter, I feel like that's a key indicator of her greatness as a woman overall.
Yeah. Well, a lot of the way that I like to be handled is not necessarily...
I don't need to hear about how you like to be handled. That's that's your own business.
But like, on a radio show, it's all about who can be the loudest and the most obnoxious, which is why I win so frequently.
That's the approach you've been taking for these 5.5 years? I didn't know that was our ammo.
I obviously win against you, Jeff, because I'm willing to be more loud and more obnoxious than you are.
Sure. Well, yeah.
And so I need a woman essentially like you, Jeff. I need... and that I can pummel, walk all over, demean,
and
make fun of,
and ignore for rail trips to all the
yeah,
great
and,
baseball
and ignore players. On rail trips, oh but God. That secretly knows that they're smarter than I am, and I know the same thing, and we have that mutual respect that's just not public facing. See, that's the
best line you've ever used. We have mutual respect, but it's not public facing.
This is why I'm not married, Jeff. See, this is what I'm saying.
I want a wife I can demean in public, but privately we have a great relationship. That's what I'm hoping for.
This could never resurface when I run for public office.
Whatever. My idea is brilliant, and I believe it will do. I mean, because the LDS Bachelorette was terrible, so the market is ready for.
What if we let the audience vote? So we just had them on for general chatter. You know, 15, 20 minutes in the beginning, and then the audience voted for who I should fly to woo and take out.
Also a great idea. I feel like the one downside there is you've offended so many people, they might rebel against you and give you the and vote for the obvious bad choice. Because I will stack the field with bad choices intentionally.
Oh, I know you would.
And I'm a great vetter, so it will be just vetting for days. It's going to be very exciting. Well, I want you to stew over this as you're on the trains
Pro
with John.
Pro tip, Jeff has catfished as me on several LDS dating services. If you see me on there, it is likely Jeff trying to find love.
That has actually been a very long time since I have done that service for you. But it has happened. It has happened. It's true. It's true. You've been like, I'm busy. That's basically what you told me. Like, I'm busy. Use my login. See if you find anybody for me.
There's a girlfriend of mine that has done the same thing. She approaches people and just says, I work for a very important man. He's busy, but I'm trying to find women for him to date. May I set something up? It works. Like, people are down. Amazingly.
Amazing.
I feel like maybe she plays me up more than I am, where like people think that I'm actually important or something.
You play yourself up publishing the articles you're quoted in with the stars of Shark Tank. Come on, man. You've built that brand up. You can't walk away from it now. You can't walk away from it.
I have accidentally built that brand up. I built that brand and then, like, share it privately on friends' walls, and then people find my number 19 in out of 20.
Quote. I think that should be the next move, though, for your own personal brand, is to get yourself quoted just in TechCrunch or on The Verge or anywhere else.
I've been quoted in the Boston Globe before. Remember making fun of Huckabee?
Yeah,
that was a highlight for me.
You've been quoted in the Globe.
Mike Huckabee is the biggest blunder in American politics right now.
I have been quoted on BuzzFeed, so we're doing very well.
I'm pretty sure on BuzzFeed you can write your own articles, so that means nothing.
You can, but I was genuinely quoted about Mormonism, so I'm some kind
of
an expert.
Good for you. By McKay, or have you not buried that hatchet?
Sadly, not by McKay, but by the wonderful Hunter Schwartz. So, Hunter, if you're listening, and I know you're not, thank you. That was great. And no, we talked about the Mormon moment. This was almost 2 years ago.
I remember, yeah. Jeff. We talked about it for a month. Anyway, let's get our show on the road.
You remember the time I took a call from a bathroom in a hotel room in New Orleans? Yeah, I was excited. All right, so...
The things you did that.
That's where I had to do it. So anyway, yeah, there's a lot's been going on this week in Mormon news.
Yeah, first and foremost.
Take me there.
Can we jump right into this Boy Scouts of America?
That would be our top story for the week, I would say. So sure.
I feel like this is one that demands a little bit of thoughtful dialogue, Jeff. So, the Boy Scouts of America, they have officially ended their ban on gay leaders in the scouting organization.
Right. And we talked about this, it was only like maybe a month ago or so that the head of Boy Scouts hinted at it, and now they've done it.
They mentioned it. So the Boy Scouts, just so you have the, sort of where they're at, I'll read their thing. It says, for far too long... Oh, no, that was from before when he said, far too long, this issue has divided and distracted us. Now it's time to unite behind our shared belief in the extraordinary power of scouting to be a force for good, says Robert Gates, Boy Scouts of America president. And then on the 27th, they ratified a resolution that removes the national restriction on openly gay adult leaders and employees. Of those present and voting, 79% voted in favor of the resolution. The resolution was recommended for ratification by the executive committee earlier this month, and it's effective immediately. So that happened, and it's done. And the church had, you said it, Jeff, as we were preparing for the show. You said it felt like a little bit like they were shooting from the hip. And as you read through some of the church's response, it does feel a little bit pouty.
It feels kind of reactionary, especially in light of the Supreme Court decision in last month. It seems like we're kind of on edge, and we reacted a bit hastily, in my opinion. But
I think that's fair. The church's response said, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is deeply troubled by today's vote and the Boy Scouts of America National Executive Board. In spite of a request to delay the vote, it was scheduled at a time in July when members of the church's council or governing council are out of their offices and do not meet. When the leadership of the church resumes its regular schedule of meetings in August, the century-long association with scouting will need to be examined. The church has always welcomed all boys to its scouting units, regardless of sexual orientation. However, the admission of openly gay leaders is inconsistent with the doctrines of the church and have traditionally been the values of Boy Scouts of America. And what have traditionally?
And then the last part's all like, hey, we're... Then the last part's where they mention, as a global organization with members in 170 countries, the church has long been evaluating the limitations that fully one half of its youth face when scouting is not available. So those worldwide needs combined with the BSA votes will be carefully reviewed by the leaders of the church in the weeks ahead.
So to translate this, they're sort of saying, yeah, we've been meaning to revisit our association with the Boy Scouts for a long time. We've got a international church that isn't served universally by the Boy Scouts of America. Also some points to consider. The church has not always welcomed boys regardless of sexual orientation into its units. If you remember this happened a couple of years ago that this was a thing, and I mean, maybe policy wise there's never been a ban on them, but I think cultural wise there is certainly a ban on boys of sexual orientation. And so it's sort of disingenuous for them to play this card, that's why I say it reads a little bit like it's pouty. Like they're just like, huh, well, I'm taking my ball and going home. We've never done anything wrong. You guys are jerks. Is sort of how it reads to me.
Yeah, I get what you mean from that. Because there's a couple parts of that I've tried to pick apart. And one of those is that when they're saying they've always welcomed all boys, regardless of sexual orientation. And so I'm thinking, are they trying to imply that that means since the rule changed, like that, but that requires a lot of inference from the reader, if that's what they mean. Or does it mean what you said, Al, that as church, we've never had anything on the books that says you can't be a gay scout, so they've always been fine with it. Maybe it's just never happened, but they never had an anti-policy or anything like that. But it's still, if that's the case, I feel like it's greatly stretching the messaging to fit the narrative that they want to put out there from the PR office. And I'm curious about the one that says, you know, the admission of openly gay leaders is inconsistent with the doctrines of the church. And I floated this one by a few people because I've really wondered about this. Because obviously if a gay scout can be in and we're okay with that, why is it wrong for an openly gay leader to be there? And some have said it's just as much as the statement means by openly gay, they're referring to people living a completely, for lack of a better way to describe it, a completely gay lifestyle. And I guess if you look at it that way, that would be inconsistent with the doctrines of the church. But if it's a gay Mormon who's living the laws of the gospel while being gay,
which would also be prohibited under the previous rules of the scouts.
Yeah, and that's what's changing. So that's what I don't get. Are they saying those who are just like, you know, gay despite not worrying about church stuff? And in that point, I get it, because it's a calling as well. Scouts isn't just a volunteer thing. In our church, it's a calling you receive to be a scoutmaster or whatever else. So you have to be worthy of that calling. But if you are openly gay, but you live the gospel, and I know we're a little bit blurry on how all of that fleshes out at this point still. Like, is that a problem? Because if so, that's confusing to me. And I'm also just confused why they're so deeply troubled by it in general. Like, they did not throw out a stink when a couple years ago when they allowed for just gay scout troop members. So why are we deeply troubled by gay leadership? And I'm not knocking it completely. I'm just admitting I don't fully understand this perspective. So I'd love anybody else's insights. You know, you can email us, go on Facebook, whatever, if you have any thoughts on that matter.
Well, the other piece of it is that, I mean, you're expecting, or right now the church is in this very sensitive spot where they're trying to be more open and more sort of appreciative of its gay members, right? And they, you know, they go through the trouble of after the ruling on the Supreme Court, they, you know, secretly, quote unquote, donate to local. I'm a little bit skeptical of the, you know, the PR efforts of like, let's just donate at this moment to this, you know, to this organization that supports gay youth and hope that nobody finds out. I don't think that was exactly how that played out.
Yeah. Okay.
But, you know, but they. You know, so they donate and they're like, they're building their image. They're sort of excited to not be backwards thinkers on this and trying to fit. Well, not to say that by having doctrine that is against homosexuality makes you a backwards thinker. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying in how we're handling the situations given to us in 2015. We have the potential to be perceived as backwards thinkers based on how we're navigating these waters. And so then to have that carefully strategized footing be thrown away as they come out here and say, this is deeply troubling. And you know what? They did it without us being around, and they were jerks. And we're going to...
You guys are jerks.
I mean, that's exactly how this reads to me. And so it really does feel a little bit like
petty.
You know, I'm just saying, who approved this? Who gave the initials on this? Say, yeah,
that's what I wonder. And if the brethren are sort of in recess, did the newsroom jump the gun a little bit? You know, if they're not having meetings in Salt Lake about this to approve a statement, is that at play as well? I have no idea. And you know, a lot of things could have been.
There's some rogue editor that just lost his job.
There's something like that. It's very interesting. And it's funny because they say, yeah, the church has not had a chance to meet in its meetings to discuss this. But it's not like we didn't have people there. I mean, we have members of the brethren who are on the board of scouting, and they're able to vote on this and take part in it. And that still happens. But as far as meetings in Salt Lake to discuss it, I guess that was not able to go down.
Some of the other interesting things come out of this then are like, is the church developing a new program to support, or like what happens at this point? I think that a sort of a churchy scout organization might be interesting. It would be cool to have that sort of traverse the world, and you get the LDS scouts from all over that participate in this stuff. I think it'd be really hard for them to run well, though, and do a great job. In fact, there's guys that I've talked to that I'm thinking we should have on as part of the show to sort of discuss some of this stuff, because I, man, that's such a huge undertaking, and the church notoriously sort of half bakes programs and floats them out there, and then says, "Does anybody care about this? Let's keep going on it." If they do. But they're not great at, like, let's go into a room and write a scout handbook, quote unquote, for everybody, and let's get it translated into every language, and then let's go and, like, have a great successful rollout where everybody sort of knows what they're supposed to do, and we move forward. That would never happen. They would roll it out and, like, Manassas, Colorado would get it first, and then they go up to someplace in Wyoming, and then a few other places trickle in, then they give it to everybody without bothering to finish all the stuff they were going to do, and then it goes internationally, but only in English. I mean, it's just sort of, they don't do this well.
It's hard because we already have a lot of programs in the church, so who's to say we're going to take this one on and also do it well?
On the other hand, they would save a ton of money by leaving. Don't they pay like $15 a kid or something regardless?
So that's the funny thing. Watching the reaction to all of this has been troubling for me, because there are many, I'm not knocking any particular side of things, but there are many in some circles who are offended by Boy Scouts opening up to gays. And so they believe if the church distances itself, it's like, well, you know, good riddance, dust off your shoes sort of thing, because we can't be associated with that. But my issue has nothing to do with that. If the church were to leave scouting, I believe because it's unfair to the women and because it's economically unfair. And it's the way we do it, like you just mentioned. I mean, yeah, we pour so much money into scouting. I don't think that we're like completely subsidizing, but it's alarming how expensive it is compared to other stuff. And if you look at scouting's numbers, which are public, which they make publicly available, you see how much of their budget goes to legal services, which is a necessity, but that's a huge piece of the pie that the church already has covered for a myriad other reasons, right? So if we were to do our own scouting, while there would still be legal issues to consider, and they'd probably have to ramp up some of those efforts within the legal department, at the same time, I believe it would be run more effectively. Because right now we're effectively paying a franchise fee, more or less, to be involved in scouting. So I don't know. I would be curious to see how it plays out if we actually develop an international thing. So I don't know.
I would like to be considered for joke writer for Boys Life magazine, or whatever variation that takes, should the church start its own.
Yeah. So we'll see what
happens.
Mainly
Laffy Taffy jokes from the back. That's what I do.
The other funny thing about this is it's kind of funny because the church is a charter organization within scouting. And part of the, like, it just makes no sense because scouting is sort of trying to protect charter organizations by getting ahead of the story in this case. But we're
actually. How do you mean?
Well, just in that, before it becomes a ruling from elsewhere, the relationship with charter organizations is that they're still allowed to make a lot of their own rules for stuff, and they're not forced to do anything. And the church is one of those. So it's also just surprising to me that the church is having the reaction it does, because I don't think the church is going to be forced into doing anything as a charter organization within scouting. But we're reacting like we are.
Oh, that's interesting. You know what else this could be? You know when you're breaking up with a girl, Jeff? You know when you're breaking up with a girl and you're just, you don't want to be in that relationship anymore, and you're looking for a reason to get out, and then all of a sudden she, like, you know, she uses fry sauce and puts your fry in it and then gives it to you, and you're like, what the crap is this?
I have no
lady?
Idea what you're talking about.
We are breaking up. And she's like, over fry sauce? And you're like, yes, over fry sauce. This is really important to me. But really what you're trying to do is just get out of that relationship. And it's not about the fry sauce, so to speak. This has never happened to me, by the way. I would never. But like, what if the church was just anxiously looking for an out? And this came up, and they were like, this is too far. We put our foot down. And they're like, wait, what are you saying? And they're like, I mean, they really were just looking for a reason to leave, which has been speculated for a while, where we've heard people say that President Monson is just adamant that we stay with scouting. And so, you know, perhaps down the road a couple of years, you know, when President Monson is gone, Maybe we completely revisit our relationship with scouting because it's not something that everybody sees value in. So maybe there's a little bit of that sentiment being floated around where now they're saying, oh, well, here's a thing, and this is a reason for us to leave, and we can go and do this thing that we've been waiting to do anyway.
Yeah. Or it's just all a pretense to do it. Yeah. So I don't know. It's interesting. And if it is a pretense, that seems so petty. It wouldn't be bolder to say, hey, we don't like the way scouting is run. It just doesn't work for a global organization anymore.
Shouldn't I just say, I don't like being with you anymore, Kathy? We shouldn't be together. But what do I do instead? I say, you clip your fingernails in my car all the time. You do it all the time. And we are not making out anymore.
I have nothing to add to that. I say
in this case, I am the church. I feel like we all can draw the. I am the church, and Kathy is the Boy Scouts.
Sure, of course she is. Yes, naturally.
All right,
that was gold. Another little bit here that's caused some rabbling of the rouse in some circles. I was surprised by our Facebook page's reaction to this when we posted it. So. Good old Peggy Fletcher Stack. I thought I wasn't going to talk about stuff from the Trib anymore. Oh, well. Peggy Fletcher Stack published an article about how apparently the beloved, famous book, The Miracle of Forgiveness by Spencer W. Kimball, might be getting phased out.
What? It
was published way back in 1969, though I disagree with the way she describes it as a much-circulated treatise on guilt, wrongdoing, and repentance. Guilt and wrongdoing, and it's known for being a pretty blunt book, and that's fine. I think it's a great book. I recognize there's some harsher language in there, but the principles in there are sound. But what's happened here is that it's now out of print in hardcover, and so Deseret Book marketing manager said that the paperback is listed out of stock indefinitely. So that's OSI status, and that basically means something they just use on slower moving titles. It means they might print some, but they only replenish it here and there. Now, the other thing to bear in mind, though, is that digital copies are still available. So this could also just be the market of publishing being what it is, and there's no need to keep publishing the book when people are downloading the ebooks, which conveniently enough, Peggy Fletcher Stack leaves out of the article to talk about what the circulation might be for the ebook, which for all we know could be robust. I have no idea. But it does make us ask ourselves, is this kind of going the way of Mormon doctrine? Is the church backing off from association with the miracle of forgiveness just because of some of its harsher ideas that don't play in this day and age of we want to be on everybody's team, happy PR efforts, hashtags galore, that kind of stuff? I don't know. What do you think, Al?
I've never read the miracle of forgiveness cover to cover, but I've read chunks of it. As have been suggested to me during different phases of my life, but the people, I know people that this book has really, really helped, right? Because it's not a doom and gloom book per se. It's a frank conversation of sin and then more of a like here's how we get back sort of book. So it's weird to me that they would try and distance themselves per se. There are sections of it. That are a little bit controversial as more information has come to light. You know, obviously sections relating to homosexuality and how that's developed. I mean, this book was written in the 70s when I think the broad consensus was that, yeah, that's pretty much it. That's how it goes. And as we've learned more about, about what that makeup is in somebody's brain is, you know, it's not because they masturbated as a youth or something, right? It's because of a different makeup inside of them. And so some of the conclusions that are drawn in the book maybe aren't right. But by and large, I think there's a lot of helpful information in there. That being said, one bad apple can ruin the bushel, as they say in Missouri, maybe. So maybe one chapter in there that's a little wonky.
Missouri does not have the climate for apple growing. I don't even know where you're getting these aphorisms from.
I make them up. But it's sort of a shame. It's a shame to leave that because I know people that have, they slogged through that book and came out the other side and said, man, we can do this. Like the atonement is real. I can get back. And and not having that book, I think, would be a shame. Maybe we could do a revision of it or of some sort. I'm curious if it's because it's controversial.
Well, that's what they won't say, of course. It is interesting that in this interview, she interviews Edward Kimball, who was President Kimball's son, and actually he wrote a biography about him. And he says that, like, in hindsight, he talked about his dad, says dad kind of regretted some of the tone of the book. He felt that it was harsher than how he even is in person in any way. And so he might have had regrets about the way it was, but I don't know why he didn't, like, make revisions to it then. They make revisions all the time. This happens a lot. It'll be curious to see. I think, like anything else, if it is the tone, because it doesn't gel with what we're doing today, in some ways that's normal because the doctrines are the same, but the messaging and how we convey those things does get tweaked as the years go on, based on the audience needs. That's normal. But I hope it doesn't go away entirely and like Mormon doctrine, which is gone now.
Mormon doctrine is pretty frowned upon, and if people quote it or anything like that, it's sort of, you know, it's the old guard that loved Bruce R., which, the guy had a great testimony of the Savior.
Totally. And Mormon doctrine is not perfectly analogous to this either. It was controversial from its printing, even when it came out. I mean, way back during the McKay era, President McKay took umbrage with some of the stuff that was going on.
But Mormon doctrine was huge in the church for a long time.
Oh, massive, yeah. People thought it was an official manual for the church.
Which would have been amazing to finally know what a Kurilam was. Thank you. In the end, it was, you know, it was effectively like, it's taboo to mention in a talk now or something like that. You just don't do it. And so that's sort of what I'm going at with so far as miracle of forgiveness. If it drew that status, that would not be great. Anyway, what do you do?
I'm with you.
Let's see, a couple of other things that are fun. I really like this one. There is a interfaith Bible project going on by an LDS couple that are crowdsourcing this Bible. So they want all denominations to contribute to this and sort of
basically they don't want to do the work. That's what this is. They don't want to do the work.
they don't want to be scholars and do the capstone project.
They don't want to be scholars and do the research themselves. They're just saying, hey, guys, put your information here. Look at that.
But I kind of think that would be amazing. I think you'd get a lot of really great doctrine. I quoted a lesson that was taught to me by an Armenian born-again Christian while I was living in Ukraine just this last week in Sunday school. And I was like, man, he taught me, like, his view on this stuff was really quite something. And when I find myself taking notes, wherever it is, I appreciate the source. So, stuff like that, good. We should do this. Elder Oaks in his keynote address to UVU's Constitutional Symposium for Religious Freedom said, the opportunity we have to push across denominational lines that were insurmountable years ago. I mean, that's huge for us. Let's go make bridges. And not crevasses.
Great work. Are you good on that one? Do you have anything else you want?
No, I got nothing else. Okay. I like it, though. I think it's cool.
In news that has disappointed Al to an immense degree, the church has backed off from developing the driving range near Thanksgiving Point in Lehi, Utah.
Do not cower, church.
They have backed off from building office buildings there. After a public outcry against business and success.
A protest attended by people in plaid pants with high socks.
Yes, this was a public in-cry for grass. Terrible.
It's so stupid. So, well, was the church building church office buildings, or were they building office buildings as the church to rent out to Melaleuca?
Well, that's what's been unclear to me, actually. We talked about this a few weeks ago when they first proposed it. I'm just trying to see if there's anything right here. Just a 2-building campus on the property. One will be used as a key facility of Family Search International, the church's family history subsidiary. So I'm assuming the other one might have just been leased out. So the church was doing a hybrid for the need of the church. And
you know what they should do? Because the church owns that land, right? They should just turn it into desert. They should let all the grass die and be like, you made your bed, Lehi. Now deal with this.
Like, you do they own, they don't all the land Thanksgiving points on, though, right? I mean, do they own,
they own the driving range? Well, and we could call it, we should have a verb for it. We could call it Boy Scout of America, that thing. And they'll just like pout and like let the whole thing die and be like, fine.
And like you said, we're not making out anymore. No fry sauce. Yeah. Take my sauce. Why are you taking my fry? Yeah. Lots of fry sauce metaphor.
They say, fine. If you won't let us have it, guess what? It's now a terrarium for turtles.
They should get really petty and be like, fine. If we can't have it, no one has it. It's over. Florida, you don't want your city of 500,000 people? Fine. We're just going to put a bunch of alligators on the land.
Or they keep this the driving range, but just close it. Build a huge gate and just close it, and have like that Newman character from Jurassic Park. That's like you didn't say the magic word.
This is a Unix system. I know this. Okay. So
passwords aren't relevant on Unix.
Yeah. Anyway. Okay. Remember a few months ago, I think it was, we talked about the fact that a BYU student had put up an exhibit on in the art gallery on Heavenly Mother.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So the Trib reported that at the time, tried to make it sound like it was in like BYU's art gallery. It was in the galleries in the art department building, as far as just student displays. These things happen.
Oh, in the Galleria.
Yeah. These things happen all the time. So don't be misled that BYU was sponsoring this. These are like student projects. But as it turns out, one part of a photography exhibit by Katie Marie Leakty was stolen. The swiped piece focused on Heavenly Mother. I love how long it takes to discover what was stolen. Al, what was actually stolen?
It was a slide. It's a slide, or the presentation is like, what are some of these? Evolution, chastity. Heavenly Mother, they're just doing little featurettes on stuff. And so the slide on Heavenly Mother was just a piece of dark room film with no negative. So it's just like sort of indicating that we don't know much about her.
Yeah.
We don't speak of her very much.
That says something. That's,
so somebody
that says
stole
something.
It and left a note. I don't know what the note said.
They didn't tell us what the note said?
Well, maybe they did. I just don't know. I didn't read it.
I want to read what the note said. The note?
She said, it's sad that I may never see that piece again. We should all send her a little bit of film. No, so yeah.
So anyways, the problem I have with this is it's messed up. If somebody's sitting there freaking out that someone tried to make an artistic expression of the relationship with Heavenly Mother, and you went and stole, even if it's a blank piece of negative paper, right? Still, like, that's messed up. You don't go jack somebody's thing because you disagree with it.
You're not funny.
You're like,
you're
this
not.
Is what gives, quote-unquote, mainstream Mormons a bad name, or any of us a bad name. It's just not good. Don't do that.
So one or two more quick ones we have.
You gotta go. I forgot.
The church has a... Like, their push on this Sabbath day stuff is big. I'm curious if this is a move to sort of refocus on things churchy. You know, we haven't been focused so much. Like, we haven't been crafting the message very much as of late, right? We've been reacting as a church to everything else coming out. And when we've talked before, it's sort of exhausting to be a Mormon right now, because everything is, what are you guys going to do about this? And how do you react to that? And the church has not been crafting its message. And so I wonder if this Sabbath day piece, this huge push that they're doing on it, is related to that at all. It's sort of like, well, let's talk about things that the church wants to talk about. One of those is strengthening families by observing the Sabbath day. And this is everywhere in every committee that I'm on, in the church, in almost every ward council meeting and stuff. They're reminding about it. And they're doing talks about it and Sunday sessions on it. And it's all about keeping the Sabbath day holy. And so the church...
And I like this because it's not... They're trying to have an accompanying social campaign with it. But this isn't just a social campaign of, I am a pioneer or any of that kind of stuff. There's an actual campaign behind it, which I like. It's clear that we're actually trying to implement like serious stuff to get the wards to work to affect positive change in this area. Which, like you said, Al, I like, because I feel like it's been a long time since we've had a proactive, positive thing that we've been pushing for as an actual, like, program or campaign in the church. So I'm cool.
Yeah, yeah.
I like it. I don't know how I feel about the goofy photoshops that show things like the Sabbath should look different. A Lakers jersey versus a white shirt and a tie.
They're saying don't watch sports on Sunday.
Well, I think they're saying don't play sports on Sunday.
Yeah, yeah, maybe that.
But whether you watch sports on Sunday
like your guitar one.
Yeah, it's like thou shalt not shred on Sunday. Do not rock on Sunday.
It's half an acoustic guitar and half an electric guitar. You know the choice, Jeff. You know.
And then social media loved the one where it said it should feel different, and it shows what's clearly supposed to be a chair in a movie theater and then a folding chair at church. But I love the internet said that looks like a chair in the conference center. So
ooh,
what?
Got him.
We got him. Also, don't eat pizza. Eat food that's for some reason prepared in a paella pan. That's not paella. I don't know.
I like that. Have a nicer meal. Yeah, definitely.
Anyway, I guess one more quick one. I know you've got to go, Al. Cedar City Temple, groundbreaking down there in Cedar City. It's a cool-looking temple. I like that they're doing more interesting architectural things than they have before. So the groundbreaking will be held on August 8th, your birthday, my friend, at 10 a.m.
Did it. We got it.
So congratulations, Al.
Thank you, Jeff.
This is all you, man. You've done this. You pushed for this.
I know. All right, man. Well, everybody, you can reach us at contact@thisweekinmormons.com or visit thisweekinmormons.com and leave comments. Come and argue with us. We love it.
Also, write a review of us on iTunes. Help us out with that. And please join us on our various social media outlets. If it exists, you can find it for the most part, unless it's like a Russian or a Brazilian site. But other than that, we're pretty good for it. Uh-huh. And join us again next week. We appreciate you taking the time to do all those things. It's great. So, Al, have fun with your new boyfriend. Hope it's great for you.
Have fun with your Guy Mathias, Jeff.
Guy Mathias and I are changing the world one day at a time. All you're doing is leisure.
All right, man. Hey, I'll talk to you later, buddy.
All right, buddy. See you later. Folks, thanks for listening in. Have a great week. And another episode of This Week in Mormons is in the distant past.
ThisWeekInMormons.com